would welcome you here this morning for our observance of the sacrament of the Lord's Supper and for our worship this morning in the name of Jesus Christ. And I would welcome you here this morning. I appreciate all of you being here. Also appreciate if you would pray for the service as we have prayed for you this morning. And mind we join together in unity as we celebrate the Lord's Supper.
I cried a tear, you wiped it dry. I was confused, you cleared my mind. In deep despair, you brought me out again and held me up and set me right again. Oh, how I needed you. You held my hand when it was cold, when I was lost. You took me home. You gave me hope when I was at the end and turned my lies back into truth again. You even called me friend. You gave me strength to stand alone again, to face the world out on my own again. You put me high upon a mountain top, so high that I could almost see eternity. You needed me, I needed you. Now I know that you are true, you are one of a kind. Forgive me, Lord, for being blind. And I'll not deny, not even try, I'd be a fool. 'Cause I finally found someone who really cares. I understand the words you gave to me when I was not so brave. I didn't know you depended on people like me to do good works for thee. You said you needed me. That gave me strength to stand alone again, to face the world out on my own again. You put me high upon a mountain top, so high that I could almost see eternity. You needed me, I needed you.
We have a new puppy at our house. Well, not really a puppy too much anymore. She's about 10 months old, 11 months old. And it's a strange thing that she likes to play in the backyard, and she always wants me to go out there and play with her. And so I go out and I throw a frisbee or a ball or something, and she runs and gets it, and then she brings it back to me. And when she comes back, she lays it down right at my feet. Then when I reach down to get it, she grabs it and moves back a couple inches. So then I call her and bring it here and lay it down. And she comes over and lays it down there again. And then I reach for it and she grabs it and runs off again. And then it's a game of tag. And it's amazing that I was thinking about that and thought, you know, that's kind of how we are a lot. Lord gives us blessings and He requires of us a part of our lives. And so we come to Him, especially this time of the year, a brand new year, and we've made our resolutions. And I'm sure many of us, like me, have said, Lord, I'm going to yield this part of my life to You this year. And so we lay it down. And then the Lord says, thank You, and He reaches for it. And then we grab it. And we pull back a couple feet because we want to give it to Him. We want Him to have it, but we're not quite ready. And so we play the same games that my puppy plays with me of yielding and pulling back and yielding and pulling back. As we partake of this service this morning, it's a good time to remember the sacrifice that the Lord made for us. And also what He requires of us to be His true servants, and that is to lay down our lives at His feet and not take them back away, but allow Him to be the Lord of our lives, not just our Savior, but our Lord. I'd like to read for a call to worship this morning from the 15th chapter of Luke, the 4th through the 7th verse. And think about these words in this little parable this morning. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 and go into the wilderness after that which is lost, until he find it? And when he has found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, and saith unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons who need no repentance.
At this hour of sweet remembrance, sacred emblems brought to view, tell of sacrifice, of passion, loving service, living true. I remember, Thou didst die to set me free. Blessed Lord, my loving Savior, shed Thy life to succor me. While the tide of days engulfs me, trials beset, or woes betide, may Thy Spirit comfort, strengthen, cleanse and bind me to Thy side. I remember, Thou didst die to set me free. Blessed Lord, my loving Savior, shed Thy life to succor me. When we meet Thy judgment facing, and my time of a change has gone, let Thy voice in sweet assurance Bring me joy before thy throne. I remember, thou didst die to set me free. Blessed Lord, my loving Savior, shed thy life to succor me.
Good morning, saints. The new year is upon us, and we have, many of us have probably celebrated one way or another. And to commemorate that event, always like years that end in five, it's easier to remember things. And my birth date was in the year 1955, my dad's was in 1925, and my mother's in 1930. So it's always easy to do the math that way than some other odd number that commemorates the year. We certainly are in this year of 2020, as it says, the saying that time marches on. Many of you that if you're 25 years or older can remember the hype that surrounded the going into the new century of year 2000. And Y2K was very much upon the minds of people that disaster would soon beset us, you know, because of a flaw in the computer systems and markets would crash and the economy would also fail. I remember that night, whatever news organization I was watching, they were going through all the time zones throughout the world, and the year 2000 came upon us without a blip, and time marched on. Many people found themselves with great quantities of toilet paper, dried beans, and soap. This year also commemorates an event in the annals of our church, of a young boy who retired to the grove in Palmyra's woodland to inquire of the Lord a specific question in his mind that plagued him. He had turned to James where it read, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God." And he retired to those woods to inquire. And that revelation was revealed to him. And as he saw those two personages, he heard one say to him, and pointing to the other, saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." That revelation would continue. And as we have shared today in the adult class, as Brother Richard brought out, as it recorded in section 1 of the Doctrine and Covenants, this declaration of the Lord to his church, the only true and living church upon the face of the earth. Previous to that, talks about the Lord has brought forth his church out of obscurity, out of darkness. And in another part of the Doctrine and Covenants, he says he had brought it forth out of the wilderness, that it might have its place in the affairs of men to declare the message of the gospel and restoring those things that had long since been lost, that the church might be a vibrant force in the affairs of men and declaring the gospel of Jesus Christ for the purpose of bringing forth the kingdom of God here upon the earth. It declares that the church has become the vassal of salvation. And it would do well for us to remember those words that the Apostle Paul spoke about our salvation being through faith, as he records in Ephesians, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, but it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." And grace is perhaps the most misunderstood point of the gospel among us as we understand that. And through God's grace, He has called us back to Him. As we have heard His voice, as we heard Him cry out, "This is my beloved Son, hear Him." As we have heard Him in our lives. Many of us have taken grace. Is that whatever we do, God will forgive us. We often give the excuse, well, we're all sinners. And excusing ourselves before God. The Apostle Paul says, "Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid." Shane Pruitt, a popular Christian blogger, makes this powerful statement. "Grace is not a license to sin, but liberty to walk in obedience to your great God." Brothers and sisters, we walk with the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. Apostle Paul declared in Romans, "There is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." And when we walk in obedience with Jesus, we have that promise of His Spirit to be with us. The Apostle Paul says, "Wherefore we live no more after flesh, yea, though we once lived after flesh, yea, since we have known Christ, now henceforth we live no more after the flesh. Therefore, if any man live," and the Apostle Paul could have also easily written, "if any man is alive in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new." And to be alive in Christ means that we have taken the Holy Spirit for our guide and that we walk with Him daily, seeking to do His will. That liberty has been given to us. The Scriptures tell us, "Be not entangled again to the bondage of sin, wherein Christ has made us free to walk with Him." And the Spirit leads us in obedience and following after Him. And it is only through His Spirit that we can be alive and be the living church of Jesus Christ. We know the story of Jesus toward the ends of His days. As He recorded, someone came to Him asking, "Master, what is the greatest of the commandments?" And Jesus replied to him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." And brothers and sisters, as I have thought about these two great commandments, a realization and understanding has come into my mind that it is impossible for us to humanly obey those commandments. In and of our own strength, we cannot do it. But it is only when we have submitted ourselves to the Holy Spirit, when we have submitted ourselves to Jesus and desire to follow after Him, and then those commandments become the desire of our hearts to fulfill them in every measure and every degree, that we will love the Lord our God with all our heart, might, mind, and strength. And when we abide in the Spirit, hatred, disloyalty, and all the vices of sin are driven from our being. That Holy Spirit is the refiner's fire of the life of the saints, that they become alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, the challenge before us this coming year. It is an anniversary in the church of Joseph Smith going into the grove to inquire. And one of those warnings that the Lord gave unto him is, as they come close to me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. And that is a warning to his church today. We can have the semblance of worship. We can say the right words. But if our hearts are far from him, they are a sounding brass and tinkling cymbals before the Lord. For he desires a people that will be like him and know him as he is. That voice of Christ calls out to us. And those of us assembled here today, we have heard it at one point in our life. Perhaps you were at a campfire, at a youth camp, or in the quiet moment of your home as you pondered the meaning of life and what was your purpose. Or perhaps on a busy street, assaulted by the busyness of the day, and you heard that voice through the sweet spirit say to you, Mary Jo, follow me. Dwight, follow me. Jeff, follow me. Chris, follow me. Melanie, follow me. Alan, follow me. Lonnie, follow me. Rachel, follow me. Sam, follow me. Andrew, follow me. Kara, follow me. At some point in our lives, we have heard that and we have responded. And the desire of our heart was to know this Rabbi of Nazareth, this master of the gospel, this Lord of all creation, and to follow after him. Jesus continues to call to his church, follow me. And only in following Jesus can we be a living church.
You pray with me. Our kind and gracious and loving Heavenly Father, Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for the opportunity that you've given us, the opportunity to remember the sacrifice that you made for us. Heavenly Father, it's also important that we remember the covenant that we've made with you. That as members of your church on the face of this earth, Heavenly Father, we will commit ourselves to doing what you have asked us to do. That we will lend our hands to the establishment of the cause of Zion, Heavenly Father, and bring others into the kingdom. Heavenly Father, we pray for your return, your early return. We pray for you to forgive us for the many ways that we fall short. And we pray for an outpouring of your grace, Heavenly Father, that we might have the desire and the power to do your will as we have been called to do. Father, this ordinance that we've taken part of this morning, Heavenly Father, is the greatest blessing. May we remember the significance and lead our way, our lives in such a way, Heavenly Father, that would bring glory and unto your name. Father, I pray for this congregation that sits here, that I know you love so much, and others around this globe, Heavenly Father, that are worshiping you at this time. I pray for those in our membership, the Father, who are discouraged, those who might be alone, those who might not know where their next utility bill is going to come from. Heavenly Father, may we love one another in such a way that we would reach out and help those that are in need in ways that we can. Help us to be sensitive. Help us to love one another as you have called us to do. Heavenly Father, I know that we've got so many in our congregation that are in need physically. I pray this morning for Brother David Andrews, who's in the hospital awaiting surgery. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would bless him and bring him peace. I pray for my dear sister Marie, and I know that she has been suffering this month and seeks relief so that she can carry out those duties that she has. Please bless her with a Father's blessing. I'm also aware this morning, Heavenly Father, of our sister Pam Barrett, who's in the hospital and in need of your blessings. Encourage her and her spouse. Wrap them in your arms with love, Heavenly Father, is my prayer. I pray for our nation that you would keep us strong as we turn ourselves unto you. As we've learned in the scriptures of old, if we would turn our hearts unto you, no enemies would be able to come against us. Finally, Heavenly Father, I pray for our pastor and his wife. I just know little of the burdens that they carry, the responsibilities that they carry. Sometimes, Heavenly Father, the criticisms that they have to suffer. I would pray for them, Heavenly Father, that you would give them strength and encouragement in the knowledge that they are doing your will, Heavenly Father, in this flock. We are grateful unto you for the many blessings you have given us and will continue to give us. And I pray that we might remember the covenant we have made with you, Heavenly Father. I pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.